Thank you to Gig for leading us and focusing on fair trade. This morning, I want to actually look at one of the stories that Jesus actually told. It's a story of the Good Samaritan. And actually thinking about who is my neighbour. Bear in mind that the Good Samaritan story is only recorded in Luke's Gospel. And when Luke was writing his Gospel, his emphasis was on Jesus as a compassionate man, concerned for the powerless, the insignificant, the social outcasts of their day. So this morning I want to think about who is my neighbour. And to understand the parable, we need to understand the context of this parable. In verses 25 to 29, Jesus encounters experts in the law. And the fact it's out of that conversation. You might have come across this. You've got an attitude problem. How often do we hear someone say that, or we say it ourselves? And here, we have a lawyer who seeks to test Jesus. And the context is about eternal life. And then it actually develops to the fact in the conversation, in the discussion, who is my neighbour? And Jesus wants to challenge and to confront this man to actually see something far greater than his understanding. Who is my neighbour? But I just want to start with this. A story often told in East Africa is of a woman who always walked around carrying a large Bible. Villagers tease her. Why always the Bible? There are so many other books you could read. Yet the woman kept on living with her Bible, neither disturbed or angered by teasing. Finally, one day, she knelt down in the midst of those who were laughing at her, holding the Bible high above her head, and said with a big smile, "Yes, of course, there are many books, but there are only one book which reads me." And as we come to this story, as we come to this parable, I just want to pick up some simple points, really. Firstly, compassion is based on need and not worth. Compassion is based on need, not worth. And verse 30 says this. Then Jesus answered and said, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of the robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and went away, leaving him half dead." I think the first part of the story could actually be taken from the Jerusalem news at 10. Sadly, such incidents were all too common. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was well travelled and notoriously dangerous. It was literally going down the road from Jerusalem, which was 2,700 feet above sea level, and Jericho was another 820 feet below. That meant a drop of 3,500 feet over a 17-mile journey through desolation, craggy limestone hills. It was a situation that this road was so dangerous, so notorious, and so scary. It was bandit country. And that's why many people tended to travel in groups. It was scary and risky business. And Jesus' listeners, listening to the story, would be so familiar with it, the description of a man beaten, stripped, naked, robbed, left bleeding to death on the open road. It just happens. We live in a world which, you know, so often when we maybe watch the local news on TV, we become so hardened to what's actually happening. When Jesus told this story, he wanted this lawyer to understand something far-reaching. He wanted to challenge and to disturb this lawyer's narrow thinking of who his neighbor was. See, the fact is, as God's people, as his church, we need to be people moved by compassion. We need to have that compassionate heart. And our compassion is to be driven not by worth of the recipient, but by their needs. And Jesus says, the man is robbed, wounded, and left for dead. He needs help. But then, it looks like all is not lost. Verse 31. A priest happens to be going down the same road when he saw the man, and it says he passed by on the other side. I think actually being in Cardiff and sometimes actually just walking down Cowbridge Road where you see so many homeless people. I think after a while, if we are honest and truthful, it's easier to walk on the other side of the street. But God has called us to be his compassionate and merciful people. And we see here a priest, a religious person, someone quite important. He sees the situation of a man beaten and left on the roadside, and he passes on the other side. In fact, this priest was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, indicates that he finished his tour of duty in the temple. But suddenly he encounters this fellow Jew lying in the pool of blood, his life ebbing away. And his reaction was instinctive. Verse 31, it said, pass by on the other side. But I want you to notice here, and to actually understand the context really, the phrase in verse 30, half dead, is so important. And the question as we think about, who is my neighbour? What should be my response? There are two ways which we can tell that's where someone came from. One was their accent. The other was their dress. And because the traveller is stripped and no one could tell his background from his attire, because he's half dead, he's unlikely to be able to speak. No one can tell from his accent either. The big question was, does this man qualify for neighbor love or not? Do you remember in Leviticus chapter 21 and verses 1 to 4? Contact with that dead body or a Gentile would make that person ritually impure. And the priest had been away for 2 weeks doing his assignments in the temple. He's returning home to Jericho. After touching a body such as this, this would be costly and time-consuming. So the very least involvement with this half-dead man would require returning to Jerusalem for cleansing, which would interrupt his phrase. And sometimes we can actually understand that entanglement, that involvement with needy people, because helping other people can face us to face some difficult and challenging situation. We might say the situation is too challenging or too difficult. It's so easy to cross on the other side. Others are better qualified at this kind of thing. Perhaps the priest thought, maybe if he told himself, I'm a priest and not a paramedic. And also we read in verse 32, the same thing happened with the Levites. He passed by on the other side. Perhaps he feared for his own safety on a dangerous road. Perhaps he was concerned about being defiled. But we need to understand that both these religious leaders, like the priests and the Levites, held important positions in the life of Israel. They were above average in wealth. They had the financial means to help. They were not necessarily bad people, but just too busy. They were too busy working for God to care like God. Sometimes we can be so busy serving, so busy involved, we need God's compassionate heart. Secondly, I want to pick up, compassion feels something. Compassion feels something. If you follow in your Bible, it says this. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And someone actually said that compassion is your pain in my heart. This complete stranger, a non-Jew, had compassion. Just let me illustrate it. On the 3rd of July 1988, a battleship accidentally shot down an Iranian plane with 200 people on board. This American ship captain, he thought they were under attack by the Iranian F-14 fighter. Most Americans were against paying compensation to victims' families because of the hostage crisis in 1979. Nevertheless, President Reagan at the time approved the compensation, and when asked by reporters about what message it sent, he replied, I don't ever find compassion is a bad precedent. It would have been shocking for Jesus to have told the people that this man was helped by a Samaritan. Bear in mind, the Samaritans and the Jews were bitter enemies. part of the problems, the Jews would actually say, we are from Abraham. We are the true people of God. And they looked at the Samaritans in such a negative and critical outlook, because when the northern kingdom fell and the people were taken into exile, and then the northern kingdom was repopulated, the Samaritans married non-Jews. So for the Jews, looking and thinking about Samaritans, the very phrase, the Good Samaritan, would seem so strange to a Jewish audience, because in the sentence to find the word good and Samaritan was so difficult for the Jewish outlook. But the story says, when the man saw the man beaten, lying, he had compassion. He chose to see the need. This man was moved in his being. He saw him. He took pity on him. He didn't close his eyes to the need like of others, like so many do today. No, he chose to see the need. And that's what Jesus does. He sees the need. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus is actually preaching about the kingdom of heaven and healing people? And in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. You know, loving God with everything for us as his disciples, as his believers, means allowing our living God to touch our emotions, to saturate our lives with his compassion, so that we see broken humanity with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that love of Christ needs to well up and cause us to respond rather than to retreat. Do we close our eyes out of fear, or open our eyes in faith that God can use us to bring healing and restoration to someone's life? Also, I want to pick up from the passage, compassion does something. Compassion does something. Verse 34, and it says this. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Not only was the Samaritan's compassion based on needs rather than worth of the victim, but it caused the Samaritan to feel something so deeply that he had to express it into action. And here, in this passage, Jesus details in a series of six verbs just how active this man's compassion was. And I want you to notice these words in verse 34. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine on his wounds. He put it on his donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And we also read in the Old Testament, Proverbs 21 and verse 13, if a man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. The Samaritan was willing to do everything for this man, aware of the danger and the inconvenience to reach out anyway. In every one of his acts, he demonstrated the compassion as he responded in a practical and unselfish way. He put him on his donkey, which meant the Samaritan walked. He refused to give up. He didn't just patch him up on the side of the road. He put him on his donkey and took him to an inn where he took care, the innkeeper took care of him. And I think to also notice, he would have had to take him to a town, more likely a Jewish town. He was prepared to be a risk taker. And it's important to recognize he took time. He invested time. We might not be able to help everyone, but we can help someone. And to show our Christian faith in action. And finally, compassion costs something. If you follow it in the Bible, verse 35. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And I want you to notice that this Samaritan, his compassion cost something. It was that generous action. 2 denarii was like 2 days' working wage, but it would also provide for him at the inn for a week's care. Not only was he willing to pay the price by giving 2 days' wages and then promised to pay any further expenses when he came back. You know, when we love God with all our strength, we will follow through in our commitment by doing whatever it takes. Just let me illustrate it. Cameron made his way the steps into a New York City subway station to wait for a train. While he was waiting for a train, he had a violent seizure. He fell to the ground. Somehow, with help, he got back up. But as he got back up, he began to stumble along the edge of the subway platform. Then he fell onto the railway lines just as an approaching train began to shake the station. Some of the passengers waiting turned away. They even shut their eyes against the horror of what was about to happen. Other commuters stood frozen in the sense of utter helplessness. Others were in such a hurry to get where they needed to go that they missed the moment altogether. Cameron would meet an unthinkable, violent end. And no one could stop it. No one would stop it except for one man, a 50-year-old construction worker named Wesley. Did the unthinkable. This middle-aged black man from Harlem had little in common with this Harvard student. Chose to do what no one else at the scene erected to do something. Wesley jumped down on the track, covered Cameron's body with his own. He held him against the ground while the subway train thundered over them, missing them by a few centimetres. Later, when interviewed about the incident, Wesley said, "When I saw the headlights of the number one train appear, I knew I had to make a split decision," he said. "I didn't feel like I did anything special. I just saw someone who needed help." The fact that Cameron was in need made him Wesley's neighbour. And when we think about who is my neighbour, it's those who are in need. What Jesus is communicating in this parable, the Good Samaritan wasn't hindered by the difference of this man. He had the heart to make a difference to this man. He was willing to cross every barrier, political, racial, cultural, and social barriers, to risk the prejudice and fear of the unknown, because he saw someone with a need and he had the resources to meet that need. The fact is, when we love God with all of our hearts, there is nothing that we are willing to hold back, but freely available, given to our Lord Jesus. Our time, our money, our abilities, our whole life. As a follower, as a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to recognize his lordship, his authority. The fact is, as believers, we have Christ living in us. And what an incredible treasure that is, that we share with others, that they too might discover the love and the mercy and the power of our living God. The Good Samaritan gave his time. He touched a broken person. And as believers, as disciples, we are called to feel the need of the broken, to kneel beside humanity with humility, and to heal the wounds. And Jesus actually confronted at the end of the passage in verses 36 and verse 37 and asked that question, "Who was the neighbour really?" And the man begrudgingly said, "The one who showed mercy." Might we be God's merciful community, meeting, coming alongside, and just sharing the good news, but also to be good news. Amen.